You're listening to a podcast from Riverview Church in Bowness, recorded during one of our Sunday gatherings. For more information about Riverview Church, or service times, or contact details, go to riverviewchurch.uk or find us on Facebook at Riverview Bowness.
Wow, it's a real pleasure to be bringing God's Word this morning. That was a great time of worship, wasn't it? An amazing time of worship. I was just reflecting, you know, last Sunday was amazing as well. We had a great time of worship, and we had Graham, I don't know if he's here, maybe he's with the kids, but Graham was, there he is, Graham bringing a word, which is amazing, on being open to all. The gospel message is open to all. And one of the other things we had last Sunday was church lunch, which is something that we have every month, which is brilliant. I love church lunch, and you know, you get great puddings and amazing desserts like apple pie. And it got me thinking about apples, and it got me thinking about sayings. Now, there's lots of sayings. So, for example, what I was thinking is this. Now, you might be thinking, oh, is he going to start talking about Sir Isaac Newton and, you know, gravity 9.81 newton meters per second? No, I'm not. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, which is what happens anyway, which is good. Doesn't fall far from the tree. That's the thing. Or another one, thinking about pies and dessert. It's as easy as pie. Yes. Have your cake and the proof is in the. Well, not really, because my title this morning, the eagle-eyed amongst you might have seen it in the corner. My title this morning is the proof is in the pruning. The proof is in the pruning. So we're going to be looking at two verses this morning from John's Gospel and two verses from the Epistle of James. So we'll dig into that a bit of detail this morning, hopefully. So John 15, verses 1 and 2, if you have that in your Bible. If you won't, it'll be up on the screen there. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that it will bear more fruit. The proof is in the pruning. See, a vineyard setting that we have here is a highly suggestible environment for Jesus' teaching, especially since God's vineyard was frequently used in the Old Testament to describe his people Israel. A common metaphor for describing their, his people under God's care. Even sometimes, as we see in Jeremiah, it was used to explicitly talk about their failures and their failure to produce good fruit. Jesus says here, I am the true vine, which is the seventh of seven sayings, the I am sayings in John's Gospel. And this time he adds something else. He adds that the Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. And this true vine of Jesus contrasts that with that, as we see in the Old Testament, of Israel and its lack of fruitfulness. And Jesus, by saying that the Father is the vine dresser, indicates that he's in supreme control of this whole process. You know, the vine dresser, the gardener, does two things for maximizing fruit production. Now, we love maximizing things, that don't we? Maximize. Live life to the max, apparently, with Pepsi Max. Live life to the max with Jesus. But, you know, two things that he does. He removes and he prunes. So if we're thinking about, you know, a gardener or a vine dresser, you know, in the winter, he cuts off the dried and withered branches, and that may involve, you know, pruning the vine right back so it's just the stalks that remain. And later, when it starts sprouting leaves, he maybe removes some of the smaller shoots so that the main fruit-bearing branches receive adequate nourishment. And that's what we see here. But what did Jesus say when he said, I am the true vine? Now, I often have conversations with my children, in particular, Reuben, my son, and we have this discussion a lot about the difference between facts and opinions. Oh, that's not a fact, Dad. That's just an opinion. I get that all the time, you know. But truth's an interesting one. Truth's an interesting one, isn't it? Well, why is that? Because we live in a post-Christian, post-modern, post-truth era, don't we? And that's interesting, because that's not what we see in God's Word, but that's the environment that we live. And, you know, I'm going to try and keep this relatively simple, and I don't want to dive too deep into this, but let's just simplify and say there's objective truth, something that is a fact, regardless of whether or not we think it or not. It's a fact. You know, we see the sun going across the sky. It's a fact. It's a fact. And then there's subjective truth, which is what seems true to me. So, for example, today, I am having a good day. Why? Because I'm getting to speak. Yay! You might be thinking, oh, it's a bad day for me, John, because you're speaking. But no, you know, it's subjective. But the thing is this. It's the truth that we see in the words of Jesus are objective truth. They're facts for all humanity, facts for all time, facts for all people. And we can agree as a church that that's what we believe too. We believe in the words of Jesus. And I quite often have people say to me, oh, John, but that's true for you. That's not true for me. My truth is different. Or to put it another way, you can have people who subjectively say, oh, there is no God. And we believe with all the other atheists that there's no God. They can say that matter and energy has always existed, and everything that we see evolved from that. But what does everything tell us? That there was a point at which matter and energy didn't exist. The objective truth this morning is that matter and energy has not always existed. They can be traced back to a point where God spoke. Bang! And it was, and as we see, what we see came into being. It says in Psalm 29, the Lord spoke with thunder. Nothing then something. Jesus was there in the beginning. He says that all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. See, Jesus is the way, not our way, the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Not a way, not a truth, not a kind of life, but fullness of life. Fullness of truth, fullness of fruitfulness. And the truth is today, you can be fruitful. You can become more fruitful. And that's God's heart for you today. The word truth that we see here is used 23 times by John. And has this sense of what's properly true, what the connection between the outward of the truth, the source and the origin, and its inner being. You know, in other words, it's true inside out, like pure gold. Not tainted by any other metals, it's pure, it's refined, it's true inside out. It's, you know, it's not simulated, it's not counterfeit, it's not a virtual reality. Well, I quite like VR, but it's not a virtual reality, it's a true reality. A true reality. And the truth is that Jesus is the true vine, and God the Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. And that's the same word we see in James 5, and we'll look at those two verses shortly. But I've got 4 points, I'll be bold this morning, I've got 4 points I'd like to say this morning. And so my 4 points are this: persisting, pruning, proliferating, and producing. And the eagle-eyed amongst you will know that they all start with the letter P. So persisting, pruning, proliferating, and producing. So we'll start with my first point, you know, persisting in Jesus. So in verse 2 we read, every branch in me, that's Jesus, that does not bear fruit. So he begins by saying, does not bear fruit. And that's to contrast with the people who do bear fruit. So he's starting with those who don't, and then contrast with those who do. That's what we see next. But this sense of bear, to bear fruit, carries a sense of to carry, to bring, to bear. And it also involves like your kind of conduct and that sort of things as well. But interestingly, there's a Scottish word that's related to this. Any takers on what that might be? Bairn. Bairn, as in you're born a child, and it's your bairn. That's what bairn is. And that's a good image to have in your mind, because to bear fruit is a sense of carrying, bearing, nourishing, growing, life, and something greater. So that's what we have there, is a sense. And here it's a participle, I quite like. Getting into the language. And it means continuing to bear, continuing to carry fruit, continuing to grow. Not growing fruit once and saying, that's it, I'm all good. You know, I've got an apple now. No, it's about continuing to grow that, continuing to grow that. And again, when we think about this, we think trees and so on and so forth and fruit. But it has the, you know, metaphorically, it's about our deeds, our actions, our, you know, the resultant work that we do. So what do we do? What do we do? I often ask the kids, what are you doing? What are you doing? Nothing, Dad. Whenever they say nothing, Dad, you know they're up to no good. So what are you doing? God asked Adam and Eve the same thing in the garden. What are you doing after they had sinned? Are we doing life in Jesus? Are we doing life for Jesus? We often ask, you know, maybe we'll ask this after the service at tea and coffee time, you know, how are you doing? But how often do we ask, what are you doing? Not what are you doing, but, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? See, the Bible reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should be aware and use whatever gifts you've received from God to serve others. You know, how are we serving? Andrew talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He's talking about serving in terms of giving our time, our talents, and our gifts. You know, how, you can catch that on the podcast. You know, how are we doing that? See, Jesus' question can be summed to this. Are you bearing fruit by persisting and remaining in him? Or are you trying to do things in your own strength, in your own way? I've got a habit of doing that, which isn't great. It never ends well. As Fiona keeps on telling me, my wife keeps on telling me, it doesn't end well when you do it yourself. Listen to God more. But, you know, that's a drive. So what are you carrying? What are you carrying? Are you carrying fruit? Are you carrying, the fruit that God has for you? Are you carrying blessing? Are you carrying healing? Or are you carrying baggage? Carrying pain, fear, hurt, or disappointment? You know, if you're carrying those things today, Jesus' call is to remain in him and his promised peace. He promised, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. And that is, we can take that to the bank because Jesus' words are true. But Jesus gives us a warning. So he's contrasting that with the blessing that's going to come. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away or cuts off. And that word there carries a sense of to take away, which is attached, to tear away, to rend away, to cut off. In Colossians, it carries a sense of to take out the way or to destroy or cease to exist. And later in the passage, which we don't have time to go into detail today on, in John 15, verse 6, it says, you know, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But ultimately, the message this morning is Jesus' message. It's a message of choice. We have choice. Will you persist? Will you remain? Will you stay? Will you abide in Jesus, living in him? We all have that choice. We can choose to turn to Jesus, and we can choose to repent. So this means to change our mind and change our behavior and our actions and turn towards God away from our own way, away from ourselves. We can choose to do that and go his way. He's just a prayer away this morning. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, he is just a prayer away. So, you know, that's the key, is that we can just come to him and choose to persist in him and remain connected. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever had any problems with their internet connection. Anyone? Hands up. Yeah, lots of people have problems with internet connections. You know, and how do you feel when you get cut off from the internet? Oh, I can't believe it. You know, I'm disconnected. I'm void of communication. I feel isolated. I feel, you know, productivity takes a nosedive, or maybe that's just me. You know, it's not good. And so, you know, what do you do? Worst case scenario, you change your internet supplier, don't you? You say, I'm going to go somewhere else. You guys are rubbish. I got told off the other day from the kids. Somebody said, oh, would you like this? And I said, no, that's rubbish. Dad, it was rubbish. It was a rubbish deal. But anyway, the point is, you can change supplier. You can change supplier. But and this is an important point this morning. And that's this. There's no alternative supplier of eternal life. You can't go anywhere else. It's only in Jesus. So let's encourage each other and support one another and persist in Jesus together, united in him. We're all part of one vine. In Matthew 3, verse 8, it says, bear the fruit in keeping with repentance. So keep repenting, keep turning God's way, not your own, and God will do a work in your heart, and you'll see the fruit of that. Today, as Andrew mentioned, is Armistice. It's Remembrance Day. I'm remembering those who fought in the war. And if any of you are wondering who I was, I'm John. A lot of people said, you've actually got a suit on today, which is a change. So I could have my poppy there. But you know, that's the thing. It's Remembrance Day. You know, remembering those who fought in the Great War, the Great War, the Second World War, and other conflicts and wars that we see. Their sacrifice was the freedom that we enjoy. But let's also remember that Jesus and his ultimate sacrifice, once for all, to give us freedom from sin, shame, guilt, and fear, that we can have eternal life in him. Let's persist in Jesus. And offers eternal life and freedom to all who would call on his name. Now, I know this is a bit heavy this morning. Normally a wee bit more upbeat, it's a bit heavy. But persisting in Jesus is good news. Persisting in Jesus means that his promise in verse 2 at the end can be realized, which is every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. He prunes it. Remember, the proof is in the pruning. Every branch that bears fruit is pruned. What? Like cut? Cut off like before? No. No. So it can be even more fruitful. That's what it's about. It's about increasing that fruitfulness. It's not a cutting off or a tearing or a destroying, but rather it's a cleansing. It's a purging. It's a purifying. That's what the word there means. And so as we think about this, it's about allowing the Lord to remove those undesirable elements from us that we are powerless to remove ourselves. We can't do it on our own strength. We can't read a self-help book and try and transform our life. Only the creator of the universe can transform us from the inside out, changing our thoughts, changing our behavior, changing our actions so that we can become more like him by his power at work within us. He can eliminate that which is fruitless and bring the fruitful to us. See, Jesus longs to make us clean by pruning, by purging, by purifying our hearts so that we can be more fruitful. The proof that he is working our lives is that the pruning is that we're pruned, is the pruning that we undergo. See, pruning is painful. I've been going through a lot of pain with dentist issues of late. Very painful. And so is pruning. Pruning's painful. We might not like it, but it's for our fruitfulness, because God knows better than we know ourselves. God knows what's for our good, even when we don't see it, because he is the creator and supreme king over all. See, in John 13:35, it says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove it. The proof is in the pruning. In Matthew 7, we read that you'll know them by their fruits. You know, a good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Now, we've heard that many times, but let's bring this right down to a concrete example. If I took this and crushed this, what would you get if I squeezed it? What juice? Apple juice, absolutely. If I took this orange and squeezed this, what would I get? Orange juice. Orange juice. When life's pressures come and you're squeezed, or a Christian squeezed, what comes out? Is it Christ Jesus? Is it Christ Jesus that comes out? Or does something else come out? See, the key this morning is the good news is that Jesus can transform you from the inside out, and you can be fruitful. You know, do you want to be purified? Do you want to be perfected? Prepare to be pruned. Do you want to be clean? Let the fruit be seen. Let the Father prune you. You know, do you want to aim for the moon? Prepare to be pruned. I had to come up with some things that rhyme. But anyway, you know, so that's the thing. The proof is in the pruning, you know, that we may become more fruitful and go on bearing more and more fruit. It's in the present tense, which means it's a sense of continuing to do that. And that's my third point this morning, which is proliferating. Now, in the dictionary, this sense of proliferating is to increase rapidly in number or multiply. So, you know, that's the key there. So, like I say, in John 15, verse 8, we see that bearing much fruit will bring glory to the Father and provides evidence of discipleship of Jesus. The proof is in the pruning. But discipleship is more than just believing. It's more than just saying, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible tells us the demons know that, and they shudder. It's more than just saying something or having an intellectual understanding. It's about understanding that sense that it demands also remaining and participating in what Jesus has got for you and for me. The word used in the New Testament for this carries a sense of, you know, not just faith or belief in Jesus, like some sort of head knowledge, but it's this ongoing fidelity, this ongoing loyalty, this ongoing allegiance and trust and confidence and fealty to Jesus as our saving King. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. How much more should we show him our ongoing fealty, loyalty, and surrender? That is what we're called to. That's discipleship. I often get asked, what's the deepest teaching that I know? And if you've heard me say this before, then I apologize. I've said it before, but I quite often, oh, John, what's the deepest teaching you know? And I'm glad you're all sitting. You all ready for this one? You ready for this one? The deepest teaching that I know. You sitting comfortably? This is deep. You ready? Read the Bible and do what it says. Sounds so simple, but it's deep. It's deep. The Lord always wants us to go deeper, to take his word and actually be changed. Because if the Lord shone a light on every single sin that you or I had committed, we wouldn't be able to stand. But in his grace and his mercy, he progressively changes us bit by bit so that we can handle that and we can, in the power of his Spirit, be transformed. Disciples are learners. They're apprentices. They're people who follow and copy Jesus. But crucially, disciples are disciples who make disciples. There's this making of disciples. It's open to all, which is what Graham was talking about last week. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter how bad or evil you think you might have been before. There's grace and mercy. The blood of Jesus can cover that. You can come to him and there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. No matter who you are, all, it's open to all. See, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper who will stay with you forever. See, this is the promise of the pruning. It's that you're not left alone. You've got the Holy Spirit to empower you, to help you, to transform you. You're not trying to do it on your own strength. You've got the strength of the Lord, the Creator Almighty, helping you. You just have to pray and ask. The promise of fruit, visible fruit on the outside. But we're not left alone, as I said. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit from Pentecost onwards. Now, what's interesting is there's been a lot of messages in a series that's not a series, if you've been coming along, a series that's not a series on Pentecost, and I was going to call this message the produce from Pentecost, but I decided to go a different way with the proof is in the pruning. But yeah, if you prefer that title, we can go with that. But you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is there to help, to comfort, to console you, to guide you, to lead you and encourage you, no matter what you are going through today, no matter what you face. He'll empower you to be who you were created to be. I felt the Lord, give me this word, so maybe this is for somebody here. You were created to bear the berries of blessing, not bear the burdens of blame. I'll say that again. You were created to bear the berries of blessing, not the burdens of blame. See, if you're bearing burdens this morning, then take them to Jesus in prayer. Let us pray for you and with you. You see, Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and are burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll find rest for your souls. See, that invitation from Jesus is for the Holy Spirit to transform you today, proliferating that produce of peace in your life, bearing the fruit by the Spirit of God. It's not just bearing fruit, it's bearing more fruit. From the inside out, being transformed. Bearing the fruit, not bearing the burdens. The word here used in this verse for more, bearing more fruit, carries a sense of something greater, of higher value, greater in quantity and greater in quality. So if you want to bear more fruit this morning, the promise is here of an increase in quality, an increase in quantity through pruning. The proof is in the pruning. Do you want to be more fruitful? Then ask the Father to prune you. Often, or maybe it's just me, but we want the promise of produce without the pain of the pruning. Is that just me? We don't want the pain of the pruning. We just want the promise of the produce. Lord, give me the blessings. I don't want the hard times, the blessings, which is great. God does bless us, and it's amazing. But, you know, God doesn't just remove everything out of our way. He takes us through the storm. He takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. He takes us through the hard times because we know he is there with us. And when we come to the other end, we can turn around and say, Jesus, you have helped me through that. You have helped me through that. And that's the power of testimony. The power of testimony. We've been seeing that on Connect this week with people sharing how God has helped people through various circumstances that could not have been achieved in the natural. Only a supernatural God could have achieved these things. It's amazing. So that's the thing. No one wants pain. But this pain of pruning proves the promise of produce. As our faith and our obedience and our growth develops, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, increases our clarity, increases our spiritual vision through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can see things the way that Jesus sees things. We can see people the way that Jesus sees people. We can love people the way that Jesus loves people. Sometimes it's hard to love people. And we can only do it with the love that he provides to us and through us. Perceiving the purposes of God means increasing our vision, allowing our faith to rise through the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a chorus a number of years ago. It's not that old, but so I was going to say it's going to show my age. But anyway, you know, more love, more power, more of you in my life. And that's the thing, is when that happens, our perspective changes. And that's what I believe the Lord wants to say to us today, is change our perspective. So here's a question. What do you see? Anyone? What do you see? An apple? Anybody else? You're probably thinking this is John with these trick questions as normal. Yeah. Fruit? Yeah. Andrew's getting closer. Seeds. See, what we're seeing here is not just an apple, but a tree. But not just a tree, a whole orchard. A whole orchard is encapsulated in this one apple. God wants us to see the orchard, not just the apple. Not just the apple. He wants to see the orchard. And this is the thing, is we're called to do the same. You know, do you see that in your life? God wants to say you are an orchard of blessing to others, not just an apple, not just the apple of my eye. See, the seeds of fruit are to multiply. God told humanity and created humanity to be fruitful and to multiply. Multiplying is and should be part of who we are. It's who we are created to be. You know, we're called to multiply spiritually. You know, people should know that we are Jesus' disciples. People should know that we're spreading the seed of the good news, the gospel, which is what that means, of blessing, transformation, healing, and forgiveness to those around us. The good news of reconciliation. The good news of new life and forgiveness. You know, look around at each other for a moment. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see when you look around? What do you see when you look in a mirror? And that's where people say, oh, you're looking very handsome today. You're looking very pretty. You know, but yes, you're made in the image of God. Praise the Lord. But you know, but this is the thing. Maybe we need spiritual eyes to see that people are like trees walking around. Quite often, that verse, a lot of commentators say, Jesus, when he healed the man, it didn't work right the first time, so, you know, he had to do it a second time. No. He prayed for him twice because the first time he opened his eyes to the spiritual dimension. He saw people as trees bearing fruit walking around. The second time, he opened it to the physical dimension, seeing the physicality of people. God sees you of who you are on the inside, and he loves you. And he sees who you could become as an orchard of blessing to others. So our actions and the fruit of our lives can and should be a blessing to others. Galatians 6:2 says, it calls us to bear one another's burdens and to truly hurt alongside those who are hurting, and in that way fulfill the law of Christ. Here's another question this morning, because I like a bit of interaction. Here's a question this morning. How many fruit exist that have their seeds on the outside, not on the inside? How many? One. Top marks, one. And there's only one out of all the fruit that exist, and it is this, the strawberry. It's the only fruit with the seeds on the outside. I was going to talk about, you know, grapes, And if you're old enough to remember this, you know the crankies. Ooh, I could crush a grape. I'm really showing my age now. But the strawberry. And this is the thing, that God wants us to consider that. Consider the strawberry. Strive to be a strawberry. See, showing the seeds of our salvation for all to see. You know, asking the Lord of the harvest to scatter those seeds and water those seeds because the kingdom is near at hand and the coming of the Lord is near. Consider that this morning. Now, I want to put this in a bit of perspective, just as I come to my fourth and final point this morning, by drawing in a couple of verses from the letter of James, the epistle of James. So if you look in James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, yeah, perfect. Thank you very much. We read this. Therefore, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for precious fruit of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and later rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. The coming of the Lord is near. So we've had persisting, we've had pruning, we've had proliferating, and now finally we've got producing. That's my last point, producing. Producing precious produce requires patience, perseverance, and strength. Yes, the proof is in the pruning, but that can be a protracted process, can't it? It can take time. It requires patience. Now, again, maybe it's just me. Maybe you can relate to this. I hate waiting. I am not that patient. You know, I've got to wait to get a specialist to look at my jaw, and I wish the specialist would phone me like Monday. You know, I'm praying, phone Monday. So you can pray that for me. That'd be amazing. You know, get the specialist to phone me on Monday and organise an appointment. I don't like waiting. You know, when, oh Lord, is often my cry. When, oh Lord, the psalmists, they you know, quite often when they were going through, they cried, when, oh Lord, you know. But nevertheless, that's what we're called to. See, it builds character. That's what the Bible tells us. But again, maybe it's just me. In the short term, it seems to build frustration. And I'm not talking about the game you play with your kids. I'm talking frustration. It builds that. But, you know, but the thing is the character comes later. The sense of patience, the word here, it has a sense of to be, you know, to patience, to suffer long, to persevere, in a sense of, you know, long-tempered, you know, refusing to retaliate with anger, instead showing divinely directed patience. You know, the sense of long-suffering, because it expresses anger only as the Lord directs. It's the direct antithesis of being short-tempered. The antithesis of that. It's to persevere patiently and bravely. The patient, being patient in bearing the offences and injuries of others. To be mild and slow in avenging. To be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish. Who does that sound like? Sounds like the Lord. Because that is the characteristics of the Lord, and that's the characteristics that he wants to indwell in us through the fruit that he wants to grow in our lives. The answer to persecution is not to strike back, but to continue to be faithful. The life of discipleship is its own witness, the witness of patient endurance, neither compromise nor necessarily, confrontation. It's a big demand, but with the Holy Spirit's power, you can. In verse 7 in James, we read, therefore be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. See, patience is never easy, especially if you're suffering. You know, I'm suffering quite a bit of pain. It's not easy. Let's just get it sorted. You know, and no matter what you're going through, it's really difficult when you're struggling, when things aren't going right. But in this example of the farmer, you know, the farmer, you know, he planted his crops, and it was valuable. It was his, you know, he could have used those seeds to feed his family, but he planted them. He planted them, and he went through the process of ploughing and weeding and chasing the birds away, and sowed the seed that his family might have otherwise eaten, and waiting patiently for the October and November, the autumn, kind of early rains, and then before sowing, and then after sowing, he waited for the spring rains in March and April time to ripen the crop. All this time, food supplies getting lower and lower and lower, and quite often at that time, you know, the farmers and his families would be, you know, struggling in the months coming up to the harvest, struggling for food, maybe hungry, crying out, when, O Lord, when are you going to bring the rains, bring the blessing, and see the harvest? See, it happens in its due time. In Ecclesiastes, we read that everything has its appointed time. Everything has its appointed time this morning. The Lord's timing is perfect. It might not fit in with our timing. Gosh, sometimes I wish it would, but I'm not God. You know, we're not God. God is God. So let's trust in him for that. You know, likewise in James's church that he was writing to, you know, they must exercise patience even in the midst of suffering, for the Lord Jesus will come back. But he's coming back. Make no mistake, he's coming back. But he's coming back in his timing, in the Father's timing, in his timetable, not our own timetable, not our own timetable. See, the farmer waits for precious fruit of the soil and is patient about it. This precious fruit is fruit that's of great price. It's precious. It's honored. And I felt the Lord say this for somebody today. You know, God says that you are precious. Yes, you. You are precious to him. You're precious to me, says the Lord. I have given you a special place of honor. The fruit of your life is equally precious. Prepare to be pruned. Prepare for the precious fruit that I will bring into your life and have the peace that I will provide, but be patient. God is working in his timing. That's for you. Please receive that in blessing. But, you know, we've got to wait for the precious fruit. We've got to be patient and wait for the rains. I mean, if you think about this as an analogy, you know, what do we need to grow this stuff? You need rain, like the Spirit of God. You need the sun, like the Son of God. You need the fertile soil and the vine, and you need patience. You need to wait for the right time for it to come up. So what can we do? We can be patient, strengthen our hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. So strengthen our hearts, that's what the verse says. But what does that mean? Well, I've got another wee illustration. I like my illustrations. I don't know if you can see this, but I've got a wee plant. I was hoping to get a bigger one, but I couldn't find a bigger one. But anyway, so if you can see this, there's a stick. Do you see that? Holding the plant up. Do you see that? The stick is holding the plant up. And the word here carries a sense of, you know, being strengthened, being supported. You know, the support that fixes and plants down. That is what we're talking about, strengthening. That's what the word here means. So what we're talking about is setting fast, you know, being stable, placing firmly, you know, being supported and strengthened and established. You know, so that's what it's talking about. And that rod that keeps it straight, it's like a rod or a plumb line from the Lord. That's the straight, the truth, the righteousness that we are to do. And it's not on our righteousness, not on our standards, not on the world's subjective standards, but on the eternal Word of God, the standards that never change, because God does not change. That is how we can strengthen our hearts, by getting into his Word. Getting into his Word. Now, that word, strengthen your hearts, is also an imperative. Now, many of you who know me know I love my movies and TV shows, so it wouldn't be a message without at least one quote from a TV show or a movie. You know, if this was an 80s action film, you know, we'd have something like, do it now, get strengthen your heart. You know, that's what it is, strengthen your heart, do it, because you've got the Spirit of God within you to help you. Right, I'm going to start bringing it in now. To kind of close. But that's what God has for you, for me, for us today. So as I start to bring it in, we have a choice. As I said at the start, we have a choice. We all have a choice. God has created us in such a way in his image that we have a choice. We always have a choice. Our way or God's way. The way of fruitfulness, the way of wastefulness. That's even a word. The way of life or the way of death. How can we do what is right? Well, in Galatians 5, it tells us not to be led by the sinful nature, but instead be led by the Spirit. See, if we walk by the Spirit and show the fruit of the Spirit of repentance, we'll be pruned, and God helps us change what we are powerless to change ourselves. See, we were in our sin, that's what it tells us in Romans, and we're powerless to change. But just at the right time, God's appointed time, Jesus died for our sins, that we might have life and life eternal. It sometimes happens instantly. You know, miracles happen, miraculous healings. Other times it takes time. We have to wait. We also must be patient, like the farmer, you know. And as Christians, we place our hope on this long wait. We must place our hope in the condition outside our control on the Lord, trusting in him, because he's faithful and just. That the coming of our King, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus, he is coming back. He is coming back. We can look forward to that with joy. He's coming back. Make no mistake, not only is he coming back, but the wrongs will be set right, for the coming of the Lord is near. The sense of coming near has a sense of not so much of the length of time, but rather about enduring the period of waiting, standing firm in the faith and not giving in to doubt. If you're doubting today because of what you're going through, if you're struggling today because of the time that it appears that God's taking to answer prayers, God always answers prayer. I try and explain this to my kids all the time. You know, God always answers prayer. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. And it's the wait that's the hard one. But make no doubt, God fulfills his promises. They're yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So be patient, strengthen your hearts, and remember that the coming of the Lord is near. It's easy to forget. I've forgotten so much stuff. I used to have a great memory with things. Memory's not quite what it used to be, but, you know, so it's easy to forget stuff. I'm kind of going through the times tables with my daughter Arwen at the moment, trying to practice the times tables, and she, oh, this is boring, Dad. Why do I have to keep on repeating it? So you remember it. You know, that's the thing. Is Jesus tells us the same thing again and again in the Bible to help us remember. The same thing again and again because we forget. But the more we read his word, the more we remember what he's done and what he's going to do, and we can trust in that. You know, continually remembering is key. You know, and as I said before, today's armistice, we're remembering this. We're remembering those in the war, the wars and the conflicts and everything else who fought for our freedom. But again, you know, we choose to remember armistice and on the same day every year, today, every year, lest we forget. That's lest we forget. We don't want to repeat or try not to repeat the mistakes of the past, lest we forget. Well, lest we forget what Jesus has done and the ultimate freedom that he's done in coming back. So just in closing now, the proof is in the pruning. Remember, persisting, pruning, proliferating and producing. So remember to persist and remain in Jesus, and that the proof that he's working in your life is in the pruning. You might think it's an attack of the enemy. You might think it's some circumstance without your control, but actually it's not. It's the pruning of the Lord, and his hand is on your life today. Remember that you're called to proliferate, to multiply, and to reproduce, and to practice patience. And remember that you are precious to God. You are precious to God. Let your heart be strengthened. So I'll just end now with this last scripture from Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.